is something that a lot of people argue about, disagree about, what everything else. Now, I have come to the conclusion on China, especially since the ruler of North Korea made a visit down to China, and he's never been out of his kingdom before. He's always stayed there. Hadn't been to China or anywhere else. He made a visit down there, and they had a long conference, and they had a relative long conference, and talked to each other about the situation in North Korea. And North Korea has pledged, it's the first time they've done that, they've pledged to denuke. In other words, they will get rid of their nuclear power. In other words, they will not use nuclear weapons, and they will get rid of. You say, well, they've said this before and didn't do it. You're absolutely right. But they have never had pressure put on them like Trump has been putting on them. Never. And the people that were in before, from Jimmy Carter on down, they just didn't put any pressure on them at all. And that's no way to deal with North Korea. So North Korea has made a pledge now before they ever met. And before, what always happened, they'd go up there and they'd have a meeting, and they would say, well, we're going to get rid of our missiles. And they wouldn't do it. They'd say they would, but they wouldn't. And so I finally just came to this conclusion. This time they're going to do it. And so I'm going against what most people believe, but they're going to denuke. In other words, sure, they may hide some of them around in rat holes. I won't say they won't do that. But they're going to put their nuclear weapons in a state of non-usage. And if they try to bring them out, everybody in the world will know about it. So I think that this time it's going to work. So North Korea pledges to denuke. Now, I've always wondered, after I knew God called me to preach. I didn't have any problem with that. I just didn't exactly know what I was supposed to do. Now, I had been taught when I was young what a preacher was supposed to do, but I'd never been called before. And I've described the process to you, what I went through, so I'm not going to bore you to death with that. Now, servant Israel glorifies God by Jesus. There are two groups at the final judgment seat of Christ. One of them, the first group, are people that are judged out of the books, plural. And they are judged out of the books. I'm convinced they're the summer basket of fruit. And I believe that after the seventh trumpet sounds, they will actually, any of them that are, the women that are pregnant, the child will go to heaven, and the body will go to the grave. And I've believed that for a long, long time, and I've taught it for a long, long time. But when it comes to the final judgment, those up there in the top of the judgment, right after the great white throne comes out, then the books are called out, books plural are called out. Then it goes on down and it talks about a separation of the two. And the separation is absolutely final. In other words, the old world is no longer exist. It's been burned. And they're carried away. And then all of a sudden, all you have left are those up there in the top. Well, who are those people? Those people are not going to hell. Those people are the actual fruits, the first fruits of Israel, and they continue from the seventh trumpet rapture. And all those babies that were in the grave had their bodies down there, but their soul was already in heaven. So now you've got a situation where you've got a summer basket of fruit up there, and servant Israel glorifies God by Jesus. You say, how long have you believed that? I've believed that for a long time. But I never could get the last part straight in my mind, because it was difficult for me just because of what the Bible said in Isaiah. I'm going to begin an exposition, Lord willing, not this Sunday, but the Sunday after. I've already got the thing pretty well made up. Well, I already have it made up, actually. Why do I say stuff like that? You know how preachers are. They get used to lying so much, sometimes they just forget and lie anyway. Okay, servant Israel glorifies God by Jesus. Isaiah 49:5. And now, well, Isaiah is alive there. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the way I was called to bring Jacob again to him. Okay, now what time did he write this thing? Well, it was a little way back there, and it was during the time of the reign of Isaiah and Micah as prophets. He said, the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant. God chose me to be his servant. And that's it. Why did he do that? Was it predestination? No, it wasn't predestination. It was pre-knowledge, foreknowledge. God knew what I would do. God knew what my mother would do and what her mother would do. I'll tell you an interesting story about them sometimes. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Stop and think about that. He said, and now, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel not be gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Isaiah said that while he was alive. And he said that during the reign of Micah. They were contemporaries. Go back and look at what Micah wrote, all of it. And then read this. And then when you listen to what I'm going to tell you about the reign of Isaiah, when I start presenting this exposition of it, Lord willing, on this Sunday after next, he said, John 1:9-14. John said, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, this was in the time of John. And this is in John, the first chapter. And John says that he was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, when I was in seminary, what I wrote in my first book, they didn't publish it because I believed that Jesus was always light. I don't believe Jesus exploded himself and then he spread his light all over the universe. Jesus has always been light. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 1:9-14. Who is he addressing here? The disciples. Well, say, well, what about this man that followed the disciples and said to the disciples, that he liked them and he followed them around. And Jesus told him, let him alone. Let him alone. He didn't say go out and join him. He didn't say add him to your following. He just said, let him alone. And when he said, let him alone, I take that to mean that he said, let him alone. And I don't know how long the man followed. I don't know what he did. I don't know anything about him. He says he was in the world and the world was made by him. He's talking about God. The world knew him and the world knew him. He came into his own and his own received him not. They didn't receive it. They didn't receive the disciples. Now, you all are not scholars in the language. I wouldn't classify myself as a scholar. I wouldn't classify Chuck's dad as a scholar or Chuck. But I do know this much about it. We know how to read the Word of God, and we know we've looked and see what the Word means. And Chuck and I both believe the same thing about this final end time stuff. at least we're close, I think. Chuck believes that that you don't have to have the Greek language and you don't have to have the other. You don't have to have that. I agree with Chuck 100%. You don't have to have that. But God called me, and I just took the word, and I didn't know exactly. I wanted to be sure of what I believed. So I went to seminary because God worked it out. I didn't want to go to seminary. I wanted to go ahead and be a grocery store clerk and grow up and be like my dad and my grandfather. They were farmers, and then they ran grocery stores. That's what I wanted. But that wasn't God's plan for me. But my plan was different. I believe the same thing Chuck believes. I believe the same thing his dad believes. You get saved, and you have to get saved before you actually get baptized. You have to. Baptism doesn't save you. I guarantee you it doesn't save you. But it is a surrender to the Spirit of the Lord. And He seals you then before you're actually even starting to do the work. Okay. I was chosen to do what I do. And I guess God just had this mission for me, and I was supposed to do it. And he primed me for this from the day I was saved. And I knew He did. But I said, well, what in the world am I going to do? Well, what I did, God, I talked to God and talked to God and talked to God. And finally, when Chuck's dad showed up, I said, I know what I'm supposed to do. And I did it. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, Israel, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God that believe on His name. Now, we have preachers that come to the Lord that are women and claim to be sealed by God to do work. They are very, very, very confused. That's not true. God does not call women to preach. You say, well, I suppose that makes you feel superior. No, it makes me feel inferior, because they have a much harder job than I have. They have to bear children. They have to carry children. And they used to hear, I studied this at length, they used to hear screams from women having children. And they're not saved because God said, okay, you had six children, so now you can go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. It works this way. Women that are willing to have babies, and God doesn't specify how many they have to have, but the babies that they have, after they have them, if those children obey the Lord and are baptized properly, they are not God called to preach the gospel. They are called to do what only a woman can do: bring forth children. And God seals them and God saves them. But that's not the same calling I have. I have a calling to preach the gospel. And I have a calling to preach it in accordance with the way God directs me. And I have followed that calling. I made sure before I ever baptized the first person, I knew it was okay. Now, though Israel be gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. That is the first beatitude. Take a look at it. Who does he trust in? He trusts in God. Who is God? God is the one God, and He's the only one there is. There isn't any other God. He says so. Period. He also says in the Beatitudes, which follow immediately, He says very clearly that they are supposed to preach the gospel if they're God called. So what happens if they're God called as they preach the gospel? They may be preaching about something that doesn't have anything to do with the gospel, and somebody may come forward. That's something that I don't know about. I don't know about. You say, well, why don't you just take them all? We can't do that. If a woman comes in here and claims that she's called to preach the gospel, we're not going to take her. We're not going to take her. And if a man comes in here and he claims that he's called to, if a man comes in and if a man claims that he's called to preach the gospel, and he doesn't preach that God seals them when they're first saved, I got a problem. I got a real problem with that. Because we say, well, it's all right. It's okay. It's okay. Because we'll convert them. No, you won't. No, you won't. If somebody gets saved and God seals them, and they don't admit it, you said, well, he sends them to hell. Well, listen, I'm trying to tell you, and I'm trying to get it across, that God is light. He always has been light. He always will be light. Never will be anything but light. That's why when I was in seminary, I told people very plainly that God is light. And the first words in Genesis, when you talk about it, he's light. He is not darkness. He didn't explode himself from darkness and become light. He's always been light. He's always been light. And so this business about his power, God's power, it's something that some preachers believe. They get sealed and they run along and claim something else. You say, well, what do you do if they won't submit to rebaptism? And the people that believe that you have to be rebaptized to be saved, we can't take them. We cannot take them. You say, well, that's awful hard. Did the Lord not indicate that it would be hard? Did he not indicate very clearly that it would be hard to pastor? Didn't he say that? Didn't he mean that? It is difficult. If I had just been called to go out and preach the gospel, I'd have loved that. But it took me a long time to learn what I know. And if you want to know who I learned it from, did I learn it from Chuck? No. Did I learn it from his dad? No. Who'd I learn it from? God. He said, how'd he teach you? He taught me until I finally understood what I was doing and why I was doing it. And you say, well, he called you differently. No, he didn't call me differently. God has special appointments for people to do things. And that's what I do. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. But I was God. But of God, of God. So what happened to me? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, what did I teach? And we began, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What I preached was, and why the book wasn't published by the seminary when I first wrote it, was because they taught that the Father, that you couldn't have somebody come along and receive the Lord and have their soul saved and their soul sealed if they followed the truth, but afterwards they got messed up. Well, it's easy to get messed up. Full of grace and truth. That's the way I got saved. But as many as are led by the Spirit of truth, they are the sons of God. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, do you think you're led by the Spirit of God? You think because of this you're a son of God? Absolutely. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What did I get when I got saved? I kept running back, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. I'm adopted. I was adopted because of predetermination, not pre-justification. In other words, God didn't sit down and say, well, I think I'll send this one to hell, and I think I'll send that one to heaven, I think this will send us to hell. That's what the seminary thought I taught. I never taught that. He said, receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I've been hollering Abba, Father, ever since I was called to preach and even before. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. I know I'm a son of God. I know I'm certain. But it took a while for God to teach me. And he used other preachers that understood this. They understood. And Chuck's father was one of them. And we may have different views about different other things. But if someone comes along and tells me that I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm not going to go to hell, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to tell them they'll have to be rebaptized. If they were baptized by an unscriptural church, I have to do that. And do you think I enjoy doing that? Well, only because God told me to. If I had my own choice, Lord, you'd all be in trouble. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. You want to be an heir? How much of God's wealth do you want? How much of God's reward do you want? Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. I wonder how many members in this church right now are saved, born again believers, and in their early lives they got saved, they got sealed, and they followed the Lord for a while. You say, well, they'll go to hell. Will they? Will they? But they didn't come through to the very end. You must be the Apostle Paul. You must have been the one chosen out of season. You must have been the world foreordained. You must have been special, 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 special. God chose you because somebody back down the line suffered. And God said, that one, I'll spare this one. There are people that come along and they suffer for their belief in Christ. And they're not called Landmark Missionary Baptist. You say, what do you do with them? Well, if they're willing to be rebaptized, why not accept them? I ask the question. You're the ones that have to provide the answer. You're the church. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Seminary did not like that. Please don't send him a copy of this. I got enough problems without that. He said, so that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon, reckon means dead reckoning. It means like you use the sun, moon, and stars, and you can dead reckon. You can dead reckon exactly where you are. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Who's he talking to? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Well, how many people suffer with him? How many people are willing to do that? How many people take the easy way out? How many people get saved and sealed and are going to heaven? You say, oh, that don't sound right. It may not sound right, but that's the way it is. And you say, well, I like it. Well, I don't care what way you like it. That's the way it is. He says, if we suffer with him, then we may be glorified together. For I reckon, dead reckoning. I know I'm saved. I'm telling you something about me. I know I'm saved. So you don't have to go back and rebaptize all those that I did, because I didn't baptize anybody till I was sure of that. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, look at what he says in 1 John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. For we know that, K-N-O-W, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If God showed up right now in this building, and all of a sudden he took you, well, how would you be found? You say, well, I know. Oh, good for you. Good for you. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell it to you once. I believe that Christ resurrected himself. And I believe that when he went to the grave and out came Lazarus, He was still bound in grave clothes. He couldn't have walked out. He had to float out. You say, well, Brother McMurray, where'd you get all that? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's where I got that. And that's the truth. Now, he says, for we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Matthew 6, 33 through 34. So what do I tell you to do? Well, if you're saved and you've been sealed, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Whose righteousness do you have? You say, well, I have my own righteousness. No, you don't. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Lordy, mercy, how long have I been doing that? Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Well, I did that before I ever baptized anybody. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto day is the evil thereof. My brother doesn't believe there's a devil. You say, what are you going to do about that? I've learned what to do about that. And I'm practicing it. You say, well, what is it? Well, if you've got a brother that needs to overcome, I'll tell you how to try, but I'm telling you, you're not going to have any luck with it. But go ahead and do it. I try, but I'm wasting my time, but I do. Because he's my brother. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You know who overcame for me? Jesus Christ. Do you know when he did it? Before the foundation of the world. Do you know why he did it? Because predetermination, not predestinated. Not predestinated. There's a distinct difference. Predestination means God sat down and said, okay, I'm going to send this one to hell. I'm going to send this one to heaven. I'll get this one over here and send him. It doesn't mean that God just picked out who he was going to do. It means that he has to overcome. The first thing I learned after I got called was, good heavens, suppose I'm not called. But I knew I was called. I said, well, I don't know. And I prayed, but I knew I was called. But I said, I'm going to wait until I can be sure of it. But I know I'm called, and I don't know what else to do. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Christ overcame for me. You say, well, did you know that before you got saved? Yes, I did. But when finally Chuck's dad came here, and then Chuck came, I said, I got sealed right then. I waited to baptize people because I wanted to be sure. You say, well, you were weak in the flesh. Congratulations to you strong people in the faith who figured it all out by yourself. Congratulations to you. Now, I'm not saying that facetiously, but I waited. But I knew. You say, well, there's a difference. There is no difference because I was sealed just like you were, but I had something to do that was a little different from what most preachers do. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be my God, and he shall be my son. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, Hebrews 4 through 8, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which God speaks unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. The chastening of the Lord means spanking by the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He spanks me. He spanked me. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. I made sure that I was called before I ever baptized anybody. And God's been with me through all this. I know that. I've known that from the day I was first called. But then finally, God wanted me to do what I did a certain way, and I did it, and I didn't break the scripture. But when Chuck's dad came and Chuck came, I finally said, I am called. I am God called, and I've known it ever since the night I got saved. If ye endure chastening, oh Lord, the Lord has chastened me. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. I am not a bastard. I am not a bastard. You say, well, are you saying that real loud so you're adamant about it? Yes, I am. Because I got saved. I knew I was saved. But God had a mission for me, a plan for me, and I just said, okay, Lord, what if I do it this way, and what if I do it that way? And finally, he gave me relief on it. And then, and it's caused me more problems than I know what to do with. Revelation 3:19 through 22. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I can testify to that. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I repented when I first was called, because I knew that I was called. And I said, Lord, I'm not worthy. I knew I wasn't worthy. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You have no idea how many times God stood at the door and knocked. If any man hear my voice, I've never heard his voice. And he would hear my voice and open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. God is going to judge me, not for anything that has to do with predestination. God didn't sit down and say, I think I'll save Tom, but I'll send Kenneth to hell. And I think I'll save this person. We'll send this. Predestination and pre-knowledge are two different things. You say, well, what does that do for you? It makes me more grateful to God for what he gave me. You have no idea how much more grateful to God that makes me. God's always been light. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Do I think I will sit in his throne? I'm going to just give you a big answer for it. No, I'm not certain I'm going to sit in his throne. You say, well, why? Because the Lord said, when he was talking and he said something, and all of a sudden, a whole bunch of his disciples left. They were disciples, and they left. You say, well, I guess they all went to hell. Well, good for you. You've got that all figured out. They all went to hell. And sat down with me and his father, with my father in his throne. You, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. When he said something that really Peter did, it was in response to all those disciples living. You could have called them apostles. You could have called them a lot of different things. But they left. And when they left, Peter said, Lord said, who do you think? And Peter said, Thou art the Son of the living God. And even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We have had people that have been sealed by God, saved, but would not submit to scriptural baptism. We don't have any on our church roll, and I don't plan to have any. But that's my plan. You're the church. You're going to have to make the decision. Revelation 3 and 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I believe God has always been light. I don't think he's ever been darkness. I think he's been light from the beginning. You say, well, why didn't he do this and why didn't he do that? I went to seminary to try and learn what these words mean at the time they were written, spent a great deal of my life doing it. And when I did that, I can't change what I believe. You say, well, why are you telling us you don't want them in the church? Because they have to be rebaptized. You say, well, do they need it? Well, I don't want to go to heaven and stand before the Lord and say, I wouldn't let that person. I just don't want to do that. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. You say, well, we won't have to worry about you being scriptural, will you? No, you won't have to worry about it. But I'm not worried about it anyway. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I'm telling you that God puts more emphasis on glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, than he does on anything else. He does. So the thing about it is, you want to do it God's way, or you want to do it your way? I'm determined to do it God's way. And if I end up before the judgment seat of Christ and he tells me I'm wrong, I'll just have to be judged wrong. But I do not intend to be a pastor who accepts somebody as a member of this church if they believe that they're, well, if they believe they're an apostle, they believe they're a disciple, and yet they will not acknowledge that he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. You got to give all the glory to God. And I don't care how you do it, but I do care whether or not this church accepts somebody that I have questions in my heart about, because I have to answer to God for that. And so if you want to know what I believe, anybody joins this church, if they say they're a disciple and they aren't, and they won't believe that somebody they respect and love believes their baptism is scriptural, and it is not, I won't recommend the church to receive them. I just won't do it. Don't ask me to do it. And when I do that, don't get mad, because I'm following what I'm supposed to do. So I believe you first have to be sealed. And I believe that God does the sealing. And I believe the sealing is eternal. It's forever. When I went to Christ, I didn't know that about anything about these words. I just listened to the preacher and what he said and believed him. You say, well, was he right? I think he was right. But if you've got to, this is not something that you just automatically take for granted. Well. It is now 7:00.